Well, here we are again, back in our jolly little murderous bed city.
He's only a suspect, Craig.
Oh, don't start, George.
You have a warrant to search it this time?
Pardon?
Surely you haven't forgotten the last time we were here.
Let's just try and forget about that, shall we?
Of course, if you were to give me an exclusive, your breaking and entering might disappear from my mind altogether.
Are you blackmailing me, George?
Oh, I hate the word blackmail, Frank. I prefer bribery. Oh, if Andrew James' lawyers found out that you'd been here, you'd be accused of all kinds of things. Harassment, planting evidence.
Okay. You've got your bloody exclusive.
Cheers, mate. So, what a dump, eh?
Oh, what a sick little man, Mr. James is. Look at this lot.
Dear bank manager, time to close another account. Mm. The bank that likes to say, please don't chop me up. You get the feeling this kid's a bit bonkers, Frank.
What else can you say about a man who papers his entire room with bank leaflets and then sprays the words "In the Red" on his bedroom wall?
It doesn't make him the killer.
We've got our man, George.
One little problem with that argument, Frank. It's total cobblers. The killer's still ringing me up.
How many times do I have to go through this? The caller's a crank. He's got to be.
You mean you want him to be?
Look! Ripped up bank leaflets, statements, checkbooks, plus over 200 letters, all from bank managers, all demanding their money back.
But it doesn't mean he killed them. It's all circumstantial.
Well, listen to this. I've had a call from the police string. Andrew James conforms to the exact psychological profile of the man we are looking for.
I wouldn't rely too heavily on that. Excuse me. They don't always work out, do they?
Listen, George, I don't like your attitude. I want to nail James for these murders, and there's only one way I can be sure of doing it.
How?
You're my main witness. I want you to stand up in court and tell the truth that you saw Andrew James try to kill those bank managers. Now, don't let me down, George. Not now.
Someone to see you, sir.
Well, if it's Ken Bruce again, tell him that as controller of Radio 2, I can do what I damn well like, including shifting him and his silly beard to 3 a.m. on Sundays. If he doesn't like it, he can push off to Melody Radio.
No, it's the controller of Radio 4.
Oh, marvellous. Send him in. Now, Martin.
Hello, George.
How are you?
Splendid. And yourself?
Couldn't be better.
So, how's Operation Bring Down the Director General by transmitting the most offensive programme in BBC history going?
Well, from all accounts, excellent. The controller of BBC One's given that idiot Fortescue an office, staff and unlimited programme budget.
3 senior producers have already resigned in protest. People don't resign from TV comedy. Well, except to die.
Precisely. If just putting him there causes such a fuss, imagine what it'll be like when Fortescue makes his programme.
It's a casting session, Mr. Fortescue.
A casting session? What's that?
It's a session at which you choose a cast.
Oh, a cast. Yes, yes. Oh, that made sense, yes. Exciting. There's anything else?
Script.
Ah, yes, yes. The script. The awful important script. What about it?
You need one. Preferably before Sunday.
Sunday.
When the show goes out.
Hold on, that's 2 days' time.
Plus, by Sunday, a set to be designed, location footage recorded, crews to be appointed, that's camera crew, lighting crew, and sound crew. Also, audience to be found, seated, and if at all feasible, amused. And finally, a new PA to be interviewed and appointed.
Splendid. Hang about. Aren't you my PA?
I resign. I don't want to be involved in this disaster. Oh, Jesus, production office. It's the production manager. He wants to know if you want a cherry picker.
A cherry picker?
For the location shoot tomorrow. How many do you want?
Well, what do you think? 10?
He wants 10. Yes, 10 cherry pickers. Thanks. Right, well, I'm off.
No, please don't go. I can't produce a brand new live primetime satirical comedy show on my own.
Answer me this. Why have they appointed you to produce it? You've no experience in television, and until 24 hours ago you were a suicidal personnel officer on a hunger strike. Why have they given you the job?
I was personally appointed by senior management. They know what they're doing.
Bye.
Chief Inspector Frank Jefferson commencing 9th interview with Andrew James at 23:17 precisely. Okay, Andrew. Let's try another tack. Let's just imagine that we hadn't caught you red-handed.
You didn't catch me. George Craig did.
Okay, George Craig caught...
And for the millionth time, I wasn't doing anything wrong.
And for my millionth time, I'm afraid that we in the police force, somewhat pedantically perhaps, do treat trying to run over 17 innocent bank managers in a speeding transit van as wrong. Sorry, but that's the law.
One, there are no innocent bank managers. Two, I wasn't trying to run them over. I lost control of the van.
You don't like bank managers, do you, Andrew?
Well, they're part of the wider evil that is the modern proto-capitalist slavery machine.
Oh,
but as individuals, they don't really interest me.
Don't interest you?
No.
Oh, they seem to interest you enough to paper your entire bedsit with their promotional literature. They seem to interest you enough to want to run them over. They seem to interest you enough to write rubbish like this. You tell me to scrimp, you tell me to save, but you can't tell me nothing from a shallow grave in the woods.
I've got nothing to say to you. You're a tool of the fascist macro engine.
I'm not the only tool in this room, Andrew.
I want my guitar back.
We found a whole mountain of these hate-filled notes in your flat. And every time we find a new victim, he has a note attached to him.
I don't know anything about that.
So how do you explain all these notes in your bedsit?
They're not notes.
Well, what are they? Fan mail? Oh, come on, Andrew. The evidence against you is overwhelming. Can't we just wrap this up and go home?
You've got the wrong man. I'm not the bank manager murderer. I'm innocent. I am living in a police state. I am the Talbotting one, and I want my guitar back.
But what about these notes?
They're not notes. Don't call them notes.
Well, what are they then?
Lyrics!
What?
They're song lyrics.
Rubbish.
Right, listen to this. For my misery, it's you I have to thank. Oh, Mr. Manager, laughing all the way to the bank. La 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 la. Laughing all the way to the bank.
Andrew, I'm warning you.
Free mortgage advice.
Shall I call for some help?
I shall overdraw.
I shall overdraw.
I shall overdraw.
I don't believe it, Henry. The Reform Party's first real chance in over 70 years to win a new seat, and who do we pick to go canvassing for us? The bank manager murderer.
Oh, well, it's certainly novel, CP.
This could be it, Henry. This really could be the end of Geoffrey Crichton Potter and his ineffective leadership of the Reform Party. I'm finished.
Oh, no, I'm sure it's not that bad.
Not that bad? We lose a by-election and I get a motion of no confidence in my leadership.
Yeah, okay, okay.
And the bank has withdrawn our party overdraft facility. Why, Henry?
Yeah, well, it's obvious, CP. Now, the bank finds out that a man who's been going around killing bank managers is also one of our canvassers. Yeah, so they take a strange dislike to us.
Oh, God.
I don't think God is going to help us right now, CP. Apparently he's got a bit of a hang-up about the cold-blooded termination of human life. Even when it's bank managers.
I suppose even though Jesus threw moneylenders out of the temple, he didn't then try to run 17 of them over on his donkey. I don't think so, anyway.
Yeah, well, at least we can count on the deranged murderer vote at the next election.
So, what are we going to do?
Dress up as bank managers and kill ourselves?
Come on, Henry. You're the speechwriter. You're the brains of this operation.
Well, it seems that leaves only one thing.
Hmm?
Who is the only person we know that A, has any money, B, has a vested interest in donating it, and C, is in this room right now. And isn't me.
I can't think, old boy.
Exactly.
I must be off. The Garrick called.
CP, you're not going to lunch at a time like this.
And why not? If I'm to consider donating a sizable portion of Wonga to my own party, the least I can do is to try to persuade myself over a large tawny port.
Oh, go on, then.
By the way, how's the other thing going?
What other thing?
You know, the other thing. The you and Letitia thing.
No, that... No. It's not going at all, I'm afraid. Either that or it's already gone.
Nonsense. Believe you me, Henry. Deep down, that girl adores you.
Yes, I'm sure she does. Yes. And you are the finest politician this country's ever seen.
Am I? Oh, I'm not so sure about that.
No, I was just... Oh, forget it.
There.
Oh, Letitia, Henry was just telling me how much he likes you.
Shut up, CP.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you, Henry.
Well, cheerio, bye.
Hello, Letitia.
I think it's Studio 6 they're recording the show in, Jim. Do you know, I think this is going to be a big one.
This show is going to win all the awards.
Oh, do you really think so, Charles?
And as control of Radio 2, I'd stake my reputation on it. Future generations of broadcasters are going to gaze up in awe at your portrait and whisper, that's the BBC One controller who created Oh Jesus.
But steady on, it's you and Martin what planted the seed in my head.
No, Jim. We couldn't possibly take the credit. It's you and you alone. What planted the seed? We merely watered the soil of your genius. Remember, we are only radio men.
Oh, yes. Well, I suppose you're right, Charlie. As my missus always says, you can't turn a sow's ear into a lycra bum bag.
Yes, quite. Well, here we are, Studio 6.
I hope it's going all right.
Well, sure, everything's running like a dream.
Mr. Fortescue, look here. 10 cherry pickers to be delivered to TV Centre, Studio 6, at 10 Sunday morning. Oh, Jesus, programme number 90L637.
So what are these then? Cherry pickers? But they're great big construction cranes.
Yes, and they're called cherry pickers.
But I thought cherry pickers were little people in corduroy.
What the hell was that all about?
I think it was some sort of sketch that they were rehearsing.
Oh, a sketch! Oh, I see.
I tell you what, Jim, why don't I take you for a drink?
Here's your tea, Henry.
Oh, thanks.
And I got you a Danish pastry.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Are you okay, Henry? You seem very nervous.
Me? No, I'm fine.
Good. So you've been reading my Cosmopolitan.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, not really. Well, maybe, yeah, just a bit.
Did you read the article on how to eat your way to the perfect orgasm? It's hilarious. Where is it? Ah, listen to this. Certain foods are highly erotic in taste, texture and appearance, and shared between two lovers can create an atmosphere of intense sexual arousal. What do you reckon? There might be some truth in it, I suppose.
That all depends on the individual.
More tea? You look like you need it.
Pardon?
Henry, have you got anything planned for this weekend?
No. You?
No, funnily enough, nothing. Completely free.
That's nice.
Yes. I had hoped that I might get an invitation, I don't know, to go out for dinner or something, but...
But what?
But I haven't. So, I'm still free. All weekend.
Letitia?
Yes?
Would you like to...
Yes?
I mean, would you, I mean, if I asked you, sort of, here and now, would you,
What?
I mean, were I to ask you, and if you were keen and you didn't mind, that is, were I to ask you, would you...
Just say it, Henry, say it.
Would you like to pop out and get me a new Port Ledger book from Ryman's? Please.
Henry, you are impossible.
Oh, damn.
BBC Radio News. The main headlines this morning. Andrew James, charged with the murder of 8 bank managers, goes on trial at the Old Bailey today. Mr. James was arrested after being caught by our crime correspondent, George Cragg. The murders have had an unsettling effect on the money markets. BBC economics correspondent Max Parker.
The money markets will watch intently today as Andrew Jones...
James
faces justice. This truly is a trial. In the words of this morning's CFAX, page 101, money killer on trial. More details, page 112. Back to you, Gemma.
The other main story this morning... The BBC received a record number of complaints last night after a live show entitled Oh Jesus was transmitted in the slot normally reserved for songs of praise.
George Cragg speaking.
George, Frank.
Frank, sod off.
I just wanted to wish you good luck for today in court.
Oh.
You're going to be there, aren't you, George?
Yes. I'll be covering the trial.
George, you're the star witness.
Yes. And also the chief crime correspondent for BBC Radio.
Pull yourself together, George. You can't appear in court both as witness and reporter.
Well, if I do...
I'll ban you from the courtroom.
And how am I meant to give evidence if I can't get in through a loudhailer?
George, be reasonable.
Has Andrew James confessed?
Well, no, he hasn't. Not yet. Why?
You know why, Frank. I don't think Andrew James is the killer.
Don't start this again, George. He's the murderer, and it's your duty to come to that court today and give evidence. George?
Okay, Frank. I'll see what I can do.
Chief Inspector Jefferson?
Yes?
The court will call you to give evidence in approximately 5 minutes.
Okay, ta.
Ah, Chief Inspector. Nice to see you again.
Sorry, I don't believe we've met.
We've met all right, Chief Inspector. You must remember me. I'm Dominic Diarth. But you can call me sir.
Ah, yes.
You interviewed me at my abode about these frightful killings.
How could I forget such a delightful encounter?
How indeed, Chief Inspector. I'm sure I would have forgotten it had you not trodden dog dirt into one of my priceless Persian rugs.
Sorry. I hope it didn't cause any permanent damage.
Nothing I can't afford, Chief Inspector. I've just been giving witness against that repellent little oik, Andrew James. Let's hope he gets down for a long stretch, eh?
Indeed.
Anyway, I mustn't let you keep me a moment longer. Cheerio.
Jenkins,
Jarve, do me a favour.
If you ever clap eyes on that stuck-up git's limo when you're out on patrol...
Yes, sir.
...clamp it, even if it's moving.
George! Big day, eh?
Yeah, I suppose so, Max.
Cheer up, old mate. You're the toast of London.
Yeah.
Fancy a pint? No, thanks. You're refusing a pint and your name's Max Parker.
George, how much have you had to drink since you've been here?
Not much. 5 or 6 Guinnesses, a few shorts, 1 or 2 more Guinnesses. Why?
It's only 12 o'clock and you're doing court at 3. Keep going at this rate and you'll have to get the jury drunk in order to understand you.
Max, since when has drink actually prevented me from doing my job to the best of my ability?
November the 11th was the last time. You threw up on Jim Nocte during the World Tonight.
Yes, okay, 1 second. I just need a bit of Dutch courage, that's all.
Well, that's an awful lot of Dutchmen you're drinking for.
Mac, what is up with you? First you turn down an offer of a drink for possibly the first time in 25 years, then start lecturing me on the dangers of a couple of dozen Guinnesses for lunch. What's wrong, eh?
The editors put me on an actual news story, George. I didn't get into journalism just to write stories.
What story is this?
What's the biggest thing around at the moment?
The Andrew James trial, but I'm covering it.
No, you're not.
Huh?
You've been taken off because you're the chief witness. And I've been put on.
What? A hack like you, who hasn't written so much as a quotation mark of his own since Jim Callaghan devalued the pound, covering the murder trial of the century.
What am I going to do, George?
I'll write it for you.
Pardon?
I'll write it for you, but under your name. Then you can read it out on the radio.
George, you're a genius.
But of course. Now, are you going to have that drink?
Yes.
Where's George? Where in God's name is he?
Don't worry, sir. George loves the limelight. I'm sure he wouldn't miss this for anything.
Well, let me tell you, Jenkins, if Craig isn't in this courtroom within the next 2 minutes, I'll be the first chief inspector in the history of the CID to be convicted of the murder of his own star witness.
Right, sir. Can't be the one to arrest you for that.
Shut up.
For the prosecution... the Attorney General, Sir Haviland Pennywhit.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I need hardly tell you that these last few years have seen an alarming increase in violence of all kinds. We've seen murders of politicians, of pensioners, and of policemen. A sobering tally. Bank managers are symbols of a civilized and respectable England, like village inns, country churches.
Garden gnomes.
Objection, Your Honour.
Objection allowed. Defence counsel, do you wish to make a submission at this stage?
No, Your Honour.
Then would you kindly reserve your observations until later? Please continue, prosecution.
This heinous roll call of roguery, this monstrous melee of mass murder, this odious orgy of execution will be laid utterly, firmly, incontrovertibly...
Objection, Your Honour.
Oh, God, why?
He sounds like the man from the good old days.
Objection overruled. Look, can we please, please just get on with this?
Thank you, Your Honour. I intend to prove that Andrew James of 40 Berwick Street, London, West 1, did, between the dates of January the 27th and April the 2nd of this year, murder the following victims.
I object! This trial is a farce! It cannot be allowed to continue.
You there?
It's a complete stitch-up. A sacrificial lamb is being thrown to the mad lions of capitalism.
Young man, be quiet or you shall be ejected from this courtroom onto the street.
My lord.
What?
You can't eject him onto the street. He's the defendant.
Riggins. Get someone to search the pubs for that idiot Craig. Start with ones nearest to Broadcasting House and then fan out to the West End.
Chief Inspector, I realise you're a busy man, but you are in the witness stand.
Sorry, what was the question again?
Had you ever seen my client before he was apprehended?
Yes, madam, very briefly.
He's lying! He's never seen me before in his life! I've been set up! You did it to the Guildford Four, now you're doing it to me!
Mr. J!
I'm the Tolbotting One! I am the Tolbotting One!
Be quiet, Mr. James, or I'm afraid we shall conduct this trial in your absence.
You say, Chief Inspector, that you only saw my client very briefly, but you did have a precise physical description of the man you were looking for.
Well, we knew he wore odd socks, if that's what you mean.
Wore odd socks? What a wicked individual.
That's hardly the point.
Chief Inspector, we know that notes were found on the bodies of the various victims, each printed, according to your own experts, on a Hewlett-Packard 3P laser printer attached to a PC word processor. Has such a machine been found in the defendant's bedsitter?
Well, no, it hasn't, but he must have had access to one.
Has any other conclusive evidence been found?
Yes, scribbled notes, banking leaflets.
I said conclusive evidence, Chief Inspector. This isn't an episode of Cracker. So there's been no conclusive evidence? No fingerprints, murder weapons, bloodstained clothing?
No.
In effect, a large part of your case rests on the somewhat unstartling news that my client, an ordinary member of the public, doesn't like bank managers.
You're completely missing the point.
No further questions at this stage, Your Honour.
Jenkins, any sign?
No, yes, sir.
Oh, God, send out a helicopter.
You what?
And now over to you, Sir Havilland.
Thank you, my lord. Chief Inspector.
Sorry.
And am I correct in assuming that you have somebody who witnessed Andrew James in the very act of trying to murder 17 bank managers by driving at them at high speed in a white Ford Transit van?
Yes. Well, I do have such a witness, somewhere.
Chief Inspector, what would be the name of that witness?
George. George Craig.
Your Honour, I call as witness for the prosecution my first and only witness, Mr. George Craig.
Call George Craig.
Call George Craig.
Anybody got a good pub guide, Andy?
And then the hangman turns, looks at him and says, hanging's money for old rope. And falls through the bleeding chuck off. And that's true.
That's it. That story is as true as I'm standing for it. As I'm lying here. Because I'm the best.
You're no match.
That should be in court. Just point me in the direction of the old bailey.
But you can't join this state.
No, it's not getting away from me, Max. A man's got to do what a man's got to do. Where's the door?
Where on earth is George Craig? Am I to take it the prosecution have no main witness?
It would appear so, my lord.
Solvendum ambulando, Sir Havilland.
My lord?
We shall have to proceed.
But Mr. Craig's evidence is vital, my lord.
Then kindly produce him. Sir Havilland, is this the George Craig in the employ of the Wireless Home Service?
Radio 4, yes, it is.
Vivendum sibi semper est.
My lord?
Then he'll be in the pub.
Could I ask for an adjournment, my lord?
No, Sir Havilland, time is money. And I'm afraid the trial will proceed without your witness.
Come here, everyone. Oh. Sorry I'm late.
George!
Frank, you look gorgeous.
Thank God you're here.
Yeah, well, gorgeous. Sorry, everyone.
Over here, you perk.
And who are you, sir?
George Craig, sir. And who are you?
This is my main witness, my lord.
Get in the witness box, George.
Take us, please, and hold us in your right hand and repeat after me.
Let's have a look. I swear by Almighty God, etc.
You are Mr. George Craig. Do you recognize the young man in the dock, Mr. Andrew James?
Yes. He's innocent.
What?
He's innocent!
George! I told you I was!
Mr. Cragg, how can you say this man is innocent when you saw him with your own eyes trying to run over 17 bank managers?
That doesn't make him the bank manager murderer.
Of course it doesn't!
Silence in court! I'm sorry, everyone. I'm sorry, Frank.
You will be.
But you've got the wrong man. And can I just say that...
Just answer me this, Mr. Cragg.
I think I'm going to pass out.
Sir Haviland?
Yes, my lord.
It looks as if your prosecution case has collapsed. Literally.
The main headlines this evening. The news is dominated by a growing furore surrounding a programme transmitted last night on BBC One. The programme, a satire called Oh Jesus, has caused a record number of complaints. The show,
transmitted
in the slot normally reserved for songs of praise, contained the on-air blowing up of a live otter and scenes of hardcore Dutch pornography, dubbed with the sound of raucous cheering lifted from Prime Minister's question time.
All right, Frank. I'm coming. Hold on.
Hello, George.
Do you want to have me here, Frank, or in the lounge?
I don't want to hit you, George. You were right after all. Andrew James is not the killer.
What convinced you?
While we were in the courtroom, two other bank managers were being murdered.
You're joking.
I wish I was, George. You better answer that phone. Where's the scotch?
Over there.
Hello?
George?
You?
I've been very busy.
So I hear.
Good people won't suffer, just guilty people. Generally, those of a monitored event, of course. And also, well, double battalion, wouldn't it?
How long do you plan to keep this up? Until you've eliminated the last independent financial advisor on the planet?
Now, don't be sarcastic, George. Anyway, I must go. I've had a very busy day, and I'm very tired. Just wanted to keep in touch and let you know the killings haven't finished.
Was that him?
Yes. He said the killings haven't finished.
Oh, God. Where'd you say that whiskey was, George?
In the Red was dramatized by Mark Taverner and Peter Bainham from the novel by Mark Taverner. Episode 6 starred Michael Williams, Barry Foster, Peter Woodthorpe, Stephen Moore, Stephen Fry, John Bird, Benjamin Whitrow, Victoria Carling, Julian Reintutt, Ian McNeice, Jane Slavin, Peter Serafinovich, Jeffrey Whitehead, Nicholas Leprevaux, and Alice Arnold. And also featured Gavin Muir, Richard Turner, and Tim Hope. The music was composed by Paul Mottram. In the Red is script edited by Scott Cherry and produced by Paul Schlesinger.